Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 212 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me today, I've got three very special guests. We've got Mikey from Slashers. We've got Jason from Slashers. How are we doing, boys?
Fine.
Wow. Wow. What's going on, Mikey? What happened today? Who do I need to fucking beat up?
Nothing, I'm just kidding. I'm fine.
Okay.
Me and Mikey are beefing today.
Oh, is that what it is?
I didn't record last night for Slashers, but I'm here for Frightmares all of a sudden.
Just yeah. Happened to show
and,
up.
And he
it
messed
was kind
up.
Of my idea to do it hostile.
It's always your idea.
The whole month was your idea, Jason.
The whole month was my idea for the most part, yeah. But you guys could have said no. You could have said like, no, we shouldn't do this.
It was like full moon month.
You don't tell Jason no.
And our third very special guest is a tiny little human being over here with the hiccups. You can probably hear them on the microphone. CJ is here for her first guest cameo. She'll probably say something at some point because she's been a little fussy today. But I changed her diaper and I fed her 5 seconds before we went on air. So she's just got the hiccups. She's a very gassy baby. I don't know what's going on with that. Do you guys have any?
I would like to say that CJ premiered on Slashers before Frightmares.
It's true, so she did. That's where her
mosey on over to the Ebola syndrome episode. If you want to hear CJ not say anything, but just know that she's there.
She was
to induct her into the Slashers podcast.
Everyone,
Ebola syndrome.
I still haven't seen it.
You never? Oh, you didn't? You know? I mean, shit. It's a crazy one. It's definitely got Doug written all over it.
Yeah. I've heard, for sure.
Him and his Category 3 films. So, today, this is your bonus episode. We're talking about Ticks from 1993. This was actually a fan request, a man by the name of Josh Gunn, who is, isn't that your buddy, Jason? Don't you know him, personally?
Yes, he is a friend of mine. Okay. I was surprised. I was like, why didn't you request this? Like, oh, that's right. Jake did that one, years ago. So, he was like, well... How can I get somebody else to do it?
Yeah, he bamboozled me into doing Ticks. Me and Mikey and you were supposed to do I Know What You Did Last Summer, but I'd never had someone message me and be like, hey, you should do... He's like, have you heard of the 90s classic Ticks? And I'm like, I love Ticks, man. It's a great one.
So we went from Jennifer Love huge tits to just Ticks. So thanks, Gunn.
So this is shout out to Gunn for the suggestion. It's something we have not done yet on my show, so I'm more than happy to do it. We'll just have to do I Know What You Did Last Summer for Slashtober. We'll just move that down in the list. Normally this is where we would do horror news, but I've decided to say fuck it. Since this is the bonus episode, we're going to talk about some of our favorite summer / vacation / whatever style horror movies. We've each picked 5. We're going to do it similar to how we do the top 10 at the end of the year. We'll all go around, say our 5 favorite movies and why we like them. I feel like my number one's going to surprise everyone because it's not something... Well, we've already done it this month. There's actually 2 on the list that we've already covered this month. And one that we did a while back. We've actually talked about every single movie on this podcast except for number 3. So...
Spoiler alert, everybody.
Spoiler alert, yeah. So, we'll go alphabetically here. So we'll go with Jason. What do you got for your number 5?
My number 5 is a 90s classic by the name of Uncle Sam.
Oh, my goodness.
It is a cheesy, very cheesy slasher. It's not a good movie, but I think even William Lustig is kind of like... has like some I think it was the production was kind of a pain in the ass for that movie, so he's not a big fan of it either, I guess. But it just I remember watching it when I was a kid, and I also remember that VHS box, that Lenticular Clover, you know. And I've got a soft spot in my heart for Uncle Sam.
It's Uncle Sam, I Want You Dead, and it's a very grotesque looking man and pointing at you. Yeah, that's one that's been on my list for quite some time. I think Shout Factory or Scream Factory actually put that one out. Oh, it's on Shudder, and it's on Prime Video and Tubi. So there you go. If you ever care to check that out.
It's easily accessible.
It's literally on everything. All you have to do is, 4th of July, I was making ribs or barbecuing, and I just put Shudder on, just the TV, and it had Uncle Sam on. And I was like, oh, shit. But I've seen it, like, many, many times. So that one's actually on my list, too.
Oh, okay.
Spoiler alert.
This one takes place during July 4th, so right in the middle of summer. I love it. Mikey, what do you got for number 5?
Number five is coming at you hot with Ooh. Club Dread.
Oh, shit. Okay. I haven't seen that one in forever. Fun. Why do
I've
you like it?
I've never seen that one.
It did not
it's
age
legit,
well.
Goofy. Yes, it did. It aged fine.
It's the mid early 2000s, so we all know the homophobia and all that stuff. But it's...
And I love it. Okay. I love it. Give me all the homophobia.
He's there for it.
My formative years took place in early 2000s. So throw every homophobic line at me. People that made me have a really hard time are now like sliding in my DMs asking for like sexual favors. So all that homophobia in early 2000 is just a cover up. So, and when you're a teenager or like early 20, you don't know what you're saying. I used to call people all the time. I still tell my friends. You should have been there at Pride. Our little block party for Pride, it was like bleep, 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 bleep. And I was like, man, the straights would be having a heart attack if they were down here not knowing what to do with themselves.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that's the Broken Lizard gang, right? The people that did Super Troopers. They did that one, right?
Yes. And the funniest, I don't know why I think it's the funniest joke, is I don't know if he's Mexican or what, but he's like on the resort and he meets Jordan Ladd's character. And her name's Penelope. And she has a name tag that says Penelope. He's like, ah. Penelope. And I think it's really funny. I call my little niece, whose name is Penelope, Penelope all the time.
Penelope. All right. All right.
Does she appreciate it?
No. She doesn't know where it's from. Her mom does.
Inside joke for the mom. My number five is, it's not really necessarily a summer movie, but it's definitely a very hot movie, and I think they're going on vacation. It is Alexandra Aja's The Hills Have Eyes from 2006. I feel like it is superior to the original. No shade to the original. I still think that's a great movie by Wes Craven, but Aja is a very brutal fucking director, and that one gets me every time. So that's my number five.
I agree. That is better than the original. I don't know why you say it's hot, but I'm not going to yuck your yum, but it's a good movie.
I just mean like it's, you know, it takes place in the desert, not like hot as in like, ooh, I'm hot. It's just like it's very.
I was thinking you were going the same kind of hot as Mikey over there. Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You called Ebola syndrome fun last time. So I'm just kind of like, I'm trying to like defend your character on air. So
especially while you have your child.
Yeah.
Oh, come here, you goober. Just come here. All right.
I'm right here.
We'll just sit you up. I know. You're very grumpy today. Okay. And you got the hiccups. Everyone can hear now. All right, Jason, your number four, what do you got?
My number four is Lost Boys.
Oh.
It took me a while. I was just thinking over the list, and I was like, well, I guess Lost Boys, it feels like a summer movie to me. I know some people probably say it's a Halloween or fall kind of movie. It just feels summer to me. You know, nobody's going to school. It's very warm Southern California feel. It just feels like summer, and I like to watch in the summer. And Halloween's a good time. It's a good Halloween watch, too, but it just always feels like a summer movie to me.
I am pretty sure it takes place, like, in the summer. I mean, it's in California. I know they're on the beach a lot.
It's a beach in California, so it's always the summertime. Yeah, that's how that works.
It's just the same thing with beaches in Florida. It's always summertime here. Mikey, what you got for number four?
My number four is Jason's number five, Uncle Sam.
Oh, shit.
Proud to be an American, top horror American film. I love it.
Okay. It's a good time. It is a really good time.
All right.
And showing it? I love it because, never mind. I'm not going to get in trouble.
Go ahead.
You can edit this out.
I can edit it out. It's fine.
It's just it takes the whole, like, especially right now, the word patriot that makes you roll your eyes. Like, the whole concept is, like, this boy is idolizing his uncle who goes to war and is like the ultimate patriot, but it turns out he's not a good person. And so, like, while he's literally coming back from the dead killing people, the boy's still like, not Uncle Sam, he's the greatest.
Yeah. So, well, he talks to that teacher who's like was like a draft dodger and was like, my uncle said you guys are cowards.
Yeah,
he said that you ran away from Canada because you were cowards, and I would do everything the president says because he's right and he knows better.
Yeah,
like,
so,
you're like the worst kid ever. Like, that kid.
And isn't Isaac Hayes in it? Isaac Hayes and Linda from Halloween. What's her name?
Yeah, PJ Souls.
PJ Souls. Yep. Okay. Oh, Robert Forrester, too. Wow.
Yeah. This is just going to turn into an Uncle Sam episode.
That'll be the next
one. No more ticks, Uncle Sam.
Yeah. We're just going to segue into Uncle Sam. All right, my number four classic slasher literally takes place at a camp. It is The Burning from 1981, I believe. You have a young Jason Alexander with hair. That's always fun. It's very, you know, Friday the 13th-esque with a deformed boy who's going on a killing spree. But I think it's a lot of fun, a lot of good gore. And what's that one kill with the fucking shears? Always gets me every time. So if you haven't seen... Yeah. If you haven't seen The Burning, pick up the four. Actually, Scream Factory just did a 4K of The Burning, and it looks fantastic. I just rewatched it recently, and that's why I added it to the list. So that's one of my favorites.
It's a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time.
My only gripe with The Burning is that there's a big, like, 30-minute lag time when they're, like, kind of, they leave. That's my only gripe with The Burning. But as soon as it kicks in gear, it kicks in. Really kicks ass after that.
It always throws me off to see Jason Alexander in that because, you know, I know him pretty much exclusively from, like, Seinfeld and Dunstan Checks In. And just to see him
super fuckable in it. That's all I remember. I don't remember I don't even know if I finished the movie TBH. Not that I didn't like it. I just don't remember anything besides Jason Alexander being hot and breedable in that movie.
Breedable. There's a lot of guys with like crop tops and high jeans. It's it's the 80s bod, man. I don't know.
It's not quite as classy as I won't say because I'm sure it's probably on at least one of y'all's lists. So I won't get too far into another summer camp.
Oh, maybe. Friday the 13th. No, it's not on mine. I took it off.
Oh no, there's another one.
Okay. Well, I think it's my next one.
Okay. So. All right. Well, that makes sense. So I'll hold my thoughts.
Yes, hold your thoughts, Jason.
All right, Jason. Oh, yeah. Number three. What do you got?
I have Friday the 13th, Part 6.
Oh, okay.
Jason Lives.
Because it is the only movie that has campers in it
and that die. And kill the kids.
Oh, yeah.
They don't kill. I guess you see, he massacres one of the boarding rooms or whatever.
He kills a bunch of the kids by a fire, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think so. That's it's my favorite one in the series.
Okay.
I knew that was going to say. I'd say it's my favorite one. I don't remember anything that happens in it. I'm such a liar.
Fucking Tommy Jarvis. It's all his fault.
I keep trying to get you off the show. But go ahead.
No, it's all Tommy Jarvis's fault. He's like, I want to make sure he's actually dead. Like, he's fucking dead. Why do you have to...
Everything that happens after part six is Tommy Jarvis's fault.
And
the fisherman said in our beloved I Know What You Did Last Summer that we're not covering, if you're going to leave someone for dead, make sure they're really dead. So I'm just going to bring up every movie except Ticks in this episode.
Okay. It makes sense. I understand. Yes.
That have the best intro, I think, though, of the entire series is how he gets brought back to life in the cemetery. That is like one of the coolest scenes in the entire franchise.
The thunder.
Oh, yeah.
Unless you're about to say the James Bond intro. I know you're a big fan of that one, too.
Oh, that's a good one, too, yeah. But definitely takes a cake for the intro as part six, Jason Lives. Plus, that's honestly, like, I like Kane Hodder as Jason, but I think C.J. Graham did a great job as Jason in that movie.
Yeah, my biggest gripe with Kane Hodder is, just, like, the deep breathing the entire time.
Yeah.
Jason.
Yeah, he's a good build for Jason, but, yeah, that constant just heavy breathing. I was like, where did that come from?
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you mute his audio track? Jeez.
Yeah. He also teleports in Manhattan a little bit. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, you could put most of the Friday the 13th movies in this list. I know part five is really, I've really come around to part five. I think it's one of my favorite ones in the series. You could put that one on here. Anything one through four? Three? Yeah, I would say 1 through 4 could also be on there. I know you two are big fans of part three.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. You know, that's part four is probably my favorite, the first four.
The core four,
Two gets slept on a lot. You know, I feel like it's a really good movie, but I feel like it really gets slept on for some reason.
It's the girl with the dumb haircut.
I love Amy Steele, and Mikey was not a fan of her, so I know that's why he's not too big.
She did
on
not
that.
Amy Steele the scene for me, if you know. What I mean.
Oh goodness! No. All right, Mikey, what do you got for three?
Number three, y'all all know I love homophobia, so let's add Sleepaway Camp to that list.
That's what I was. I knew that's why I didn't say anything. That was when I was talking about. I knew that one.
Okay. I mean, talk about a reveal. Holy shit!
But can I say I also love? This is going to be a big shocker. Sorry, I'm going to make myself real vulnerable today. I love the fourth one, the first and the fourth one. Don't tell Doug I said fuck 2 and 3, but the first Sleepaway Camp and the fourth Sleepaway Camp are my shit.
Are
you talking about Sleepaway Camp 4 or
Return
to
Sleepaway
Camp?
What's your beef with 2 and 3? 2 and 3 are so good.
I've only watched Return to Sleepaway Camp 4, and the main character I hated so much. Like, that's the kid. He is so awful.
Yeah, what your ass stinks. That's what he says the whole time. And 2 and 3, just that's not Angela to me. Sure, they're fine as like a different series, but and it doesn't have anything to do with the actress. It's just now she's just a woman killing people.
Is it because you hate Bruce Springsteen?
Sure. I'm anti-American. I love Uncle Sam and I hate Bruce Springsteen.
Oh, man. 2 and 3.
You can never get a New Jersey now.
Austin's just going to edit me out of this episode.
It's going to be a whole bunch of blank space.
There's going to be a bunch of trigger warnings on this episode.
Bunch of bleeps. All right. So my number 3 is It from 2017. I don't know. It's just a good, creepy, scary movie. It takes place literally in summer. Kids getting attacked by a killer clown. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. Don't really need to explain too much more about why I like that movie besides Bill Skarsgård absolutely terrifying the fuck out of everyone on set. And he can actually do that thing with his eye. There's a behind the scenes thing with Bill Hader where he was like, so what is that? They just do that in post or whatever. And he's like, oh, you mean this? And he does it. And Bill Hader, like, I don't know if you've seen the meme, but it's like, he's like, oh, and then he runs away. Out. Yeah. Like, Jesus, no, thank you.
He's like scary, but also slightly arousing. Right. That's why he was so great in Barbarian.
Exactly.
Is he supposed to be in Welcome to Derry? Have they said anything about if he's going to be in it or not?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
So, but I feel like if he is, I feel like they purposely won't tell us for a while.
Yeah. I guess that is true.
And I think
those darn Swedes, man. There's only 18 Skarsgårds out there.
If he's in it, they really should bring. I know he has some physical limitations, but they should bring Tim Curry back for something. If Skarsgård's going to be in it,
some sort of cameo that would be really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Getting down
here.
Do
you have Prince Albert in a can? Oh, you do. You should let him out. Uh huh. Uh huh.
Oh, wow, man. Jason's never this active on our show. I don't know what's going on here.
Mikey is kicking me off of a slasher, and I want to be on this.
I hope the position's still open, Austin. Because
and Mikey's like, I've got seniority over this guy. He always avoids the episodes
by
that I'm
2 weeks.
All right, number 2, Jason. What do you got?
For me, it is again. It never explicitly says it's summertime, but it just really feels like summertime. Probably because it's very hot. Tremors from 1990.
Yeah, okay.
I absolutely love that movie. I watched it. I got the Arrow Blu-ray not too long ago. Not the whole big box set they put out, just for the first one. That's like one of the just most fun movies that you can watch for me. Like, yeah, I can watch it anytime. I can watch it. It doesn't matter what year or time. But for me, it really feels like a summer movie.
Yeah, it's in the desert. It's like Hills Have Eyes. I don't know if it's necessarily summer, but it's definitely in a hot environment, so it feels like summer for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And you can
it's in Texas, right?
The first one's in Nevada.
Yeah, I think the first one's in Arizona.
Yeah. Anywhere I see Reba, I just think Texas, I guess.
You're not wrong to it, you know. She is fancy. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, and like Tremors 2 is solid also. It also could you feel it put in just as much as this one. The other ones, they're whatever.
What is it? Tremors 3 Back to Perfection. That one is, they have the flying dinosaurs with the fart butts or whatever or something
they're
like that.
They're called ass blasters.
Ass blasters. Yeah. Oh, man.
There's a movie, and that movie is rated PG. Tremors 3 is rated PG. And they came out with a new creature called ass blasters, rated PG.
Good for the whole family.
Yeah,
exactly. I have a toy called an ass blaster, and it is not PG rated.
I was about to say it's probably not rated PG.
I was gonna say, does it come with fire?
You might need parental guidance, though.
No, it's just really big, and you know, makes you want to watch The Burning, if you know what I mean.
Oh my
but
God.
You started it.
I always start it. Oh, puppy!
Yeah,
hi, puppy.
Tremors is my second favorite horror movie for the summer.
All right.
I love it.
I can dig it. That is a good one. All right, Mikey, number 2 for favorite summer horror movie. What do you got?
So number 2, special shout out Cabin in the Woods, but I'm not adding it to my list.
Okay.
Number 2, all of my movies have been kind of lighthearted and campy. Number 2 starts off lighthearted and campy, but ends in a very serious tone. And that's going to be Summer of 84.
Ooh, yes.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a slept-on movie.
It's very good.
Yeah, and the ending is really...
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it because it was very... The whole time, it's very much... Not enough to where it's like a ripoff or cheesy, but it's very much like a Fright Night in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But with a serial killer, not a vampire. And then it ends and you're like, oh shit, this is not a lighthearted horror romp in the neighborhood.
I'm like worried for what happened next? I'm like so worried for that kid.
I know. Mm-hmm. And like, it's no sequel. we don't know what happened next. And so, but I think I, and I've mentioned this in one of our recent episodes, sometimes I want something mean-spirited.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
There's a time and a place for it. I can understand that. I saw this like when it first came out a long time ago, like 2018. So that's when I need to revisit. It's got a 3.2 on Letterboxd. It's got solid ratings, and I feel like that one is super slept on. So be sure to check out Summer of 84. I think we're are we at number one now? Or do, wait, I got to do my number two. Hold on.
You got to do your number two.
My number two is Friday the 13th, Part 3. Shocker. Everyone knew it was probably going to be on this list. Me and Mikey did an episode on it recently. My favorite Friday the 13th. It's just a lot of fun. If you want to hear us gush about that movie, go check out that episode. It was a couple episodes back. Yeah, let's get to your number one, Jason. Your number one all-time favorite
number
horror
one,
movie.
Probably no real shocker to anybody. Jaws. It's just, okay. You know, it's...
Sorry, I just had a cookie. Almost made me lose my lunch. Go ahead.
Not a Jaws fan, Mikey. Aid on our podcast is very upset right now. I remember I saw Jaws in theaters right before the summer before the pandemic, and I remember I was sitting next to there's some random person in the Alamo, and she saw her talking. I want to be like, bitch, what are you talking for? And then she said, this movie is so boring. I don't know. Why is this fun? Why do people like this? I want to be like, bitch, what are you saying right now?
That was probably me before I cut my hair and I visited whatever state you live in.
North Carolina. You know.
I was going to say the Carolinas. The Carolinas. North or South.
That's one of them. We're don't you say I live in South Carolina, that hellhole. I'm not like one that rich lawyer who killed his family.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Charlotte, one of the Carolinas.
You know, I love Jaws.
I actually just got the 4K with the lenticular slip, and I'm going to watch that after this episode. So, because it's also.
Watch it with Mikey. He loves it.
Yeah. Well, virtual it.
Don't tell Aid. I've actually never seen that. I just like trolling her.
You've never seen Jaws.
We'll see if she loses this episode. Little Easter egg, right? See if she loses this episode.
Yeah, this is a test, Austin, to see if she's your real friend.
Oh,
whenever she gets mad about not coming back on, be like, well, you don't listen. You know how I don't listen? Because we talk shit on you on episode 112, whatever it is.
211. We're episode 211.
212, yeah. You goobers. 212. Oh, man. Wow, you've never seen Jaws. That's a good one, man. Steven Spielberg. I mean, the shark only has about, I think, 4 minutes of screen time, I believe. But it's still fun. Still a good time.
It's a good movie. It is, in my eyes, the best summer horror movie.
Yeah, and that's
Orca.
Orca's, oh, that's true. Orca. That's a good one as well.
Wait, that's not in the summertime. Aren't they in the Antarctic for that?
Yeah, but it's still a shark in the water.
Mikey's like, your rules. Who cares about your rules?
Fuck the rules. Orca, the killer whale. I think that's from like 77. That is a solid movie. Another one that Scream Factory's put out. All right, so Jaws. And it is Shark Week this week, too. So get your Jaws watching in. And that one takes place on 4th of July weekend, too, right?
The first one does.
Yeah, the first one does. Okay.
The second one might. I can't remember.
Second
one.
The
other
on Christmas.
Ones, I don't. Yeah, it's kind of like whatever. They're crap movies. I can't remember.
I can't do it.
One of them takes place at like SeaWorld. Like, so who gives a
shit? Oh, okay.
I thought that was the third one.
Yeah, the third one takes place at SeaWorld. I know that you know when he breaks into out of the aquarium in 3D, it's quite awful.
Oh shit! Okay.
Technically, it has not stood the test of time at all because it's a 3D movie.
Hey, well, I know one movie that stands the test of 3D, and that's Friday the 13th Part 3, even though I've never seen it in 3D. Mikey has a fucking 3D TV and didn't even watch it in 3D for the episode. I was so upset with him, so I told him I have to fly there so we can watch it in 3D.
To give me a spanking. I actually found my 3D glasses that came with the TV, and I was like, oh, cool, I can watch it. But it needs to be charged, and I have no idea. It's not a USB. It's not a USB-C. I have no idea what that plug shape is. So.
It's probably one of those ones. Yeah, it's like you got a box of those wires somewhere that you put in your attic. It's probably one of those somewhere. Damn it, Mikey.
Do they still make 3D TVs?
No, and they still put shit out in 3D. It's very maddening.
I wonder if that's why my TV was so expensive.
Yeah.
I see like these huge TVs that are like $700 to $800. And I was like, bitch, I paid $3,000 for my 65-inch TV. Why is it so expensive?
Yeah,
probably
3D.
Because it was a 3D TV.
Yeah, those things were not
cheap.
Have
I used it before? No.
Mikey.
I just like, put it on the card. Okay, anyways.
What's Mikey your number one, Mr. Mikey?
Did Jason go already? You went? Oh,
yeah,
that was Jaws.
Jaws.
Yeah, save that one for number one. Okay. So my number one is my favorite movie of all time. The movie I love talking about. The movie I can't get enough of. I Know What You Did Last Summer. I'm reviewing it today.
I knew it.
When, when I got the message, I was like, hey, man, you think you can like come in? And I know what you do last summer. I was like, I absolutely will. I don't know if Mikey will come on just out of spite, because I'm sure subbing out his favorite movie for Tix is probably not something he's going to be super pumped about.
Luckily, I'm so nice and not petty.
Mikey, we will move it to Slashtober. Don't you worry, child. We'll move it to Slashtober.
I'm gonna be in the mood then.
Oh, what? It's also but not going to be.
You know what? We can do part two in Slashtober. How's that?
Okay. I still know what you did last summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's I'll always know what you did last summer, which I don't even think I.
We can skip that one.
I was going to say that I don't. I haven't even seen that one.
Jason saw it recently. Yeah, it's
that
terrible.
Movie is real bad.
Oh.
And they have the audacity to have an opening screenshot of a piece of newspaper that says Julie James dead.
Like, yeah. Bitch,
you're not going to get rid of her like that. We're going to pretend number three didn't exist.
And they're in Colorado. Well, there's nowhere near a beach.
Yeah, it's still on July 4th, but yeah, it's in Colorado. It's got a 1.5 on Letterboxd, so that's not good.
One star too many.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, that's rough. Yeah, it has 2,900 half star rankings, and that is the biggest number that it has.
I was probably one of them recently. You can probably pull up my review what your friend said about it. I don't know what I don't remember.
Jason Hill, here we go. I'll always wonder who finances this. Light. Jeez. That's a good one. You gave it one. Okay, so it's got a 1.5 average. You gave it 1.5. So
I gave it 1.5?
Yeah.
I must have been feeling really, really like in a good mood that day.
Yeah.
To give it that.
He was on the sauce that day.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Exactly. Yeah. I had a couple too many cocktails watching that one.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
When I saw that one.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My number one.
My what's your number one?
The
Can
one.
I guess?
Yeah, go for it.
What hasn't been on your list? Midsommar.
That is my number one for summer-themed horror movies. Ari Aster's Midsommar. We just did that one recently with Jason and Aide. It's just a great movie. If you want to hear us gush about that movie, go listen to that episode.
It's a fun watch. Midsommar.
Oh, yeah. Good for the whole family.
Time.
Yeah. And if you ever need to rhyme something with ass blaster, there's Ari Aster.
Yeah. That's how you bring things together, Mikey.
Ari Aster,
segue.
That's why you're a writer and a star. Okay.
Aw, thank you. Oh yeah. Jason.
He's got those qualities. All right, so that was fun. The top five summer horror movies. I like it. Is there anything you guys have heard recently or seen besides the Saw X trailer, which apparently Elon Musk is gonna be upset because Twitter is now called X? What the fuck is that about?
I just saw the poster and it was the X. I guess this is Saw 10. Is that what?
Saw 10.
And it was just a big X. And I was just joking. It was like, Elon Musk is going to be so mad about this.
Yeah.
No idea that they changed Twitter's name to X.
It was supposed to happen like yesterday or the day before. And like literally nothing on Twitter has changed to X.
Oh,
so I have no idea what's going on. Even though I still have it, it's just a wasteland.
Yeah, I don't use it anymore. I can't. I thought he was stepping down, too, from running it, but I guess not. He's just changing the name. All right.
I don't know. But I did finish the show on Amazon Prime called... Oh, my God. What's the one about the woman who's... Swarm. Okay. Swarm.
Swarm. Okay, how was that?
It's good. If you even don't really enjoy the storyline, the performance from the lead actress itself is amazing. I think she was even nominated for an Emmy recently. At least that's what her Instagram showed.
Sure.
And then I also... And I had never finished shows in a day, but I finished this in a day. The Horrors of Dolores Roach. That was really good, too.
Yeah, I keep seeing that advertised on my Prime. I think it's a Prime. Yeah. It's Prime, right? Isn't
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's too, eight episodes, and they're like 25 to 30 minutes each, so it's very easy to get through.
Oh, I figured they're like hour long. Everything's an hour long now, unless you're Stranger Things. They're like, this episode is 2 hours and 52
Oh
seconds.
My I'm God.
Like, yeah. Here's five movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, very, very quick to get through Dolores Roach. Swarm took me a little while, but that's because it's a very like up and down story. But Swarm is just, you just get through them because you want to know what happens next.
Nice.
So yeah, surprisingly, I've been watching series. And those are the ones that I saw. And both of them were great. So highly recommend those.
All right. So I'm just looking up the plot here because I had heard about Dolores Roach. Gabby told me about it. It is a comedy horror. And it is about Dolores Roach. She's released after an unjust prison sentence. She reunites with an old friend who lets her work as a masseuse, When the promise of newfound stability is threatened, Dolores is driven to shocking extremes to survive. All right. That sounds fun. You said there's 8 episodes? Yeah, 8 eps?
8 episodes, yeah. And, like, if you watch the trailer, it tells you more what it's about.
Okay.
It involves murder and cannibalism.
And then Swarm is a young woman's obsession with a pop star takes a dark turn. Ooh. 7 episodes.
Is Donald Glover involved with that one?
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Comedy
and
drama.
Also, I hate when they put comedy in these things because I did not laugh at all. There is nothing funny. Swarm is very emotionally, like, it's sad. So sometimes it's like comedy and horror. And I was like, bitch, where? I didn't laugh at all. But that doesn't mean it wasn't good. It was great. But I also just want to give a shout out because Swarm, main actress, black actress, Dolores Roach, main actress, Latina. I don't know if she's Puerto Rican, Cuban, or Mexican, but she's Latina, main actress, front row. So yay for horror and, you know, casting these
very diverse cast. Honestly, that's awesome. Also, Billie Eilish is in this randomly, and Rory Culkin. So that's cool. I'm a fan.
Billie Eilish is in one episode, and she can act.
Really?
Good for her.
Yeah.
All right. Jason, anything from you? Or do we want to just get into Ticks?
We can just get into Ticks. I haven't really watched.
Get into my tits, Jason.
Ticks.
Oh, I've been watching Veep. That's a fun show, but it's old. Oh, you know, God. I'm not. It's nothing new. Exactly.
Shout out to Julia.
Everything that I love this episode.
No, it's you and Doug. I'm always like, what have y'all seen lately? With like, we all know we're talking about horror, Jason.
Exactly.
And Doug always
mentions
something that's not horror, like The Whale. And I'm like,
and then Gilmore Girls.
I did start watching Mosquito today as a double feature with this one. I've seen it before. Mosquito.
Mosquito's a good one. Also, Tubi recommended Slugs for me after I watched Ticks. I was like, ooh, I got to watch Slugs at some point, too.
The Nest is also a pretty good one. If you're in the mood for, like, bug stuff.
Bug stuff.
I used to really be interested, even though I'm a gay man. Do y'all remember the cover of Ants used to be just a topless woman's breast covered by her hands and ants all over them?
I used to look at that
and be like, why am I feeling this way? I should watch Ants.
Not the animated joint, by the way. Not that one.
No, that one. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
That's exactly the one I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's do Ticks from 1993, released on October 8th of that year. IMDb said in Baltimore, Maryland. I guess that was a screening. I don't fucking know. Video premiere was May 24th, 1994. Rated R for sci-fi gore and violence. And for language, there's no sex and nudity. There is severe violence and gore, mild profanity, moderate alcohol, drugs, and smoking, and moderate frightening and intense scenes. We've got big bugs, burrowing, bleeding, bubbling flesh, goop, and squishing. Weapons of choice, we've got guns, a clothes hanger, knife fire, and lots of fire. So much fire and explosions. Runtime of 1 hour and 25 minutes, listed as a horror sci-fi. Directed by a man named Tony Randall, who also directed Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, and Amityville 1992, It's About Time. He also edited the first and second Hellraiser. Written by Brent V. Friedman, who also wrote The Resurrected and Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Bam, 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 bam. Oh. Yeah.
The real bad one.
The really bad one. The one that did. Woo, that CG.
Every time I see Annihilation, because the movie and Mortal Kombat, I just think Anal Nation.
Anal Nation. Dun, dun, dun. produced by 3 people, one of which stood out to me. His name is Brian Usna. He also produced Reanimator.
Usnuts.
Oh, shit. Brian Usna.
Brian Usnuts.
Down to Brian Usnuts. We'll get you in a pair of nuts in no time.
Of the used variety. Producing.
No credit check.
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. You guys are goobers. He produced a whole bunch of shit. Reanimator, From Beyond, Dolls, Warlock, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, Bride of Reanimator, Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, The Toymaker, Dagon, and Beyond Reanimator. Composed by a man named Daniel Leisht, I don't know. Also composed Amityville 1992, It's About Time, Children of the Corn 2, The Final Sacrifice, Amityville, A New Generation, Child of the Corn 3, Urban Harvest, Thinner, Bad Moon, and 89 episodes of Dexter. So he's been working. Also composed by Christopher L. Stone, who also composed Prison and Phantasm 2 through 5. Cinematography by Steve Grass, who only did five things, and this was his last movie. And then we've got edited by Leslie Rosenthal, who also edited Chopping Mall, a very, very good film. Starring Rosalind Allen as Holly Lambert, also in Children of the Corn 2, The Final Sacrifice as Angela, and Naked Gun 33 and a Third, The Final Insult as Bobby. We've got
She's also in Pinocchio's Revenge.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never even heard of that. Is that a horror movie?
It's a 90s direct-to-video horror movie.
Ooh, Pinocchio's Revenge on the list. Oh, that is a cover. Oh,
Doug
yeah.
Doug has that.
Of course. I am not surprised by that. we've got Amy Dolenz as Dee Dee Davenport, also in Witchboard 2 as Paige, and Pumpkinhead 2, Blood Wings. And then we've got a very, very young Seth Green as Tyler Burns, probably most notably Chris Griffin in Family Guy. He's also in Austin Powers as Scott Evil, Robot Chicken, and he's also the voice for Howard the Duck in Guardians 1 through 3. So there you go.
Oh, but he's also in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which stars Sarah Michelle Gellar, who is in the famed 90s horror film I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Somehow always finds a way to wrap back around to it.
He's also in the movie Can't Hardly Wait, which also stars Jennifer Love
Hewitt. Jennifer Love Hewitt. The famed horror 90s film I Know What You Did Last Summer. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Seth Green wants us to review I Know What You Did.
Oh my god. Virginia Keene as Melissa Danson, also in Invaders from Mars as Heather, and the dentist as Sarah Andrews. Alfonso Ribeiro, if I'm saying that, as Daryl Panic Lumley, who's also in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as Carlton Banks. And then, of course, the ever-so-loved Clint Howard as Jarvis Tanner. Also in Evil Speak as Stanley Cooper Smith. Silent Night, Deadly Night, 4-5 as Ricky. Ice Cream Man as Gregory Tudor. And The Water Boy as Paco. I didn't even know that was his fucking name in Water Boy. Estimated budget of $2 million, grossing a questionable amount of money. I don't know what it was. It was filmed in San Bernardino in L.A., California. You can watch this on Amazon with Freevee or Tubi, or just buy the Vinegar Syndrome 4K. Movies that came out around the same time, going by the premiere video date in 94, we've got The Sandlot, The Dark Half, Menace to Society, Super Mario Brothers, Jurassic Park, Last Action Hero, Dennis the Menace, Sleepless in Seattle, Free Willy, and Hocus Pocus. So, bunch of fucking movies there. Specific horror moments, Jason, did you have one?
The Tick at the very end that was coming out of Carlton is certainly the highlight. You know, that part is pretty awesome.
Yeah, special effects are amazing. Is that everyone's favorite horror moment, or is Mikey going to be different and have something else?
I wanted to pick something else because I knew everybody else's was going to be that.
All right, what was it?
My horror moment of choice was actually when Clint Howard attacks or jumps on the girl and he has the tick coming out of his face.
I'm infested.
Yeah. Because have y'all ever actually had a tick attached to your body?
No.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Are you seriously? You've never had a tick on your body before?
I mean,
but have you always lived in Florida?
Yeah.
I don't think that possible? Really that.
I mean, maybe as a kid. That. I don't know. Maybe. I can't recall.
I had one on my chest like 6 years ago. We just moved into a new house. The grass was unruly and we didn't know there was ticks back there. Literally just walk into the grass, walk back. And the next morning I took my shirt off and there was a tick on my chest in my body.
Oh
no.
Burn.
So that was kind of triggering for me, seeing that huge tick hanging off of his cheek. And then the other side of his mouth or face bursts open all over the girl. Yeah. So that was my horror moment. That was ooky spooky for me.
All right.
No, I've had a lot of ticks on me every day, but I grew up a dirt person, as we talked about in Pumpkinhead. So, I mean, it's par for the course, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Well,
he was like the children under the stereotype.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
That was me.
All right. Well, mine is the giant tick as well. Favorite kill, Jason? Did you have one?
Really? This movie is kind of devoid of kills. You would think? That's my biggest gripe with this movie is there's not. Some of those kids should have died. Like Rome, could have not lived the movie. We would have been okay with that.
Yeah, he almost didn't make it. I was like, oh, good, he's gonna not make it. No, he makes it. I was like, yeah, that's what Aide said. She's like, too many people survive, and I was like, you know what? I have to agree with that.
That is my biggest gripe with this movie. Yeah. But that being said, Clint Howard's death pretty cool. He's about to shoot himself, but then he just dies.
He gets a tick blasted out of his face, goes to shoot himself in the head, and then I'm dead. Took too long.
As a amateur filmmaker, I will say with a $2 million budget and how many people they had, they probably did us a favor by only killing a couple of them, because that's probably where most of the budget went.
Yeah.
If you add more kills, you're going to have to use more of the budget, which means it'd be cheaper and probably cheesier. Because this, the kills were all, the ticks, they looked real.
They look fucking great. And that one when they ran, too.
Oh yeah,
like,
for sure.
These days you'd have that like stupid After Effects CGI tick like not matching its steps, but like this one, they look like these things were scuttling across the floor. Yeah. So I kind of understand. Maybe you just don't have that many characters to begin with.
Sure,
that was a lot of people.
Yeah, because it's either you don't kill them, or you kill them and do it cheaply, or you. Forgot what I was gonna say again,
Mikey.
I'm sorry.
All right. Favorite kill, Mikey.
My favorite kill is the dog. Just kidding.
You got the dog in the background. Here, boy.
It wasn't really the... I don't know if this counts because he didn't die. But when Carlton gets the tick on him and takes it off, but the head keeps going in his leg.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty gnarly. And technically, that's like the start of his death. So I'm going to count that.
Yeah, he also gets shot in the fucking chest with a shotgun. So you that was a lot of fun. Yeah, yeah. My favorite kill was also Jarvis. Did anybody have a favorite character? I don't know. They were all kind of just... It's not like they were
stupid.
Yeah, it's not like they were unlikable, but I just didn't really care about any of the characters.
I will say the only one that I kind of was like okay and normal is just Seth Green.
Yeah. I mean,
say the daughter sucked. She was at the stepmom. I mean, maybe she was an awful stepmom, but from what we saw in the movie, she was fine.
She just had a terrible haircut, which we won't even discuss Friday the 13th's final girl's haircut. But,
Let's see. Least favorite character.
Awful haircut. I know what she did last summer. Sarah Michelle Gellar got a pretty bad haircut.
I know. And remember, she asks Jennifer Love Hewitt in the beginning, "How's my hair?" And she says, "Hurricane proof." And she's like, "It's all about the hair." And then she gets her hair chopped off in one of the best scenes in horror history.
But anyway, back to tits.
What a shame. What a shame.
Oh my God. Least favorite character was Sir for me because he was fucking awful. Also, what was with Carlton? He was horrible at acting in this movie. And this was in the middle of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was 90 to 96. This was 93. So it's not like this is his first acting gig, but his acting was fucking atrocious in this movie.
His name is so silly to me. It's like they call me Panic because I never do.
Because I never do. What?
There's a lot of things that I don't do, but people don't call me that. You know?
Oh, my, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Do tell.
I have my own nickname for Jason. Oh. But I don't know, because I had the same question. I was like, I don't really like him. He's not my least favorite, but there's just something off. And I don't know if it's his acting or if the character is just kind of a big eye roll in himself.
Yeah. It might have been the writing.
My least favorite character was Rome, because I was like, first of all, you're skinny. Don't show off your body like you work hard for it. Like, you're thin. Thanks. Anyways.
That Carlson's chowing down on.
Well, he needs a refund from the street pharmacist for those, because he's just a skinny boy. And he was just kind of a douche. I don't like the whole like machismo. I think he's Latin. So like, I think it was especially triggering for me growing up with those guys where it's like the machismo, like, the Tony Danza type thing, but Mexican. So I just didn't like him.
All right. That's fair. Jason.
And he didn't even die.
I know. Yeah. He almost died. And then Tyler saved him with a burning broom. By the way, how many brooms did they fucking have there? Because they set like 3 or 4 brooms on fire. And I was like, where are you getting all these brooms from?
Broom repository, right?
Yeah. A broom factory.
Yeah.
Did you have a least favorite character, Jason?
Holly, the daughter. You know. Just like, I get being miserable and not wanting to be there. Like, go stay with your mom or something. Obviously, you hate stepmom. Stepmom seems perfectly nice.
Was it Melissa or was it Holly? I thought her name was Melissa.
Oh, maybe it was Melissa. Holly maybe was stepmom.
She was so bad, you don't even know her name. Yeah.
Exactly.
Just so bad.
Exactly. The dad just needed to be like, hey, stop being a little bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
And shape up.
Also, I'm trying to get laid over here. Y'all need to chill the fuck out, okay?
Oh, yeah. BT dubs, don't have sex when there's underage kids in the house or, like, family members in general.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, why are they trying to have sex when they have like six teenagers in the room next door?
I love that line though too, when she's like, "What, you're just trying to bang Holly?" And everyone's like, "Oh shit, okay." Like,
oh. I mean, he asked for it,
and he was like, "Yeah, I am." That would be great. He was like, "Yeah, I am trying to."
I am. Shit, you're being a cockblock.
Okay. Yeah,
Holly.
Who else do you want to bang, Jew?
And he's like, I teach you. Maybe I'll teach you guys tomorrow. I get very cranky when I don't finish my nap time. Okay,
like, nap time means nut.
Yeah, exactly.
Nut time. IMDb summary. We have a group of troubled teenagers are led by a social worker on a California wilderness retreat, not knowing that the woods they are camping in have become infested with mutated blood-sucking ticks. I really need to ask you guys a question about what the fuck that intro was where Tyler just gets dropped off under the fucking, like, bridgeway and wherever.
And talking to that strange adult.
Yeah, just talking to Carlton, and Carlton's like, if you don't make this shot, I'm gonna cut you. I'm like, where the fuck?
That wasn't Carlton, was it?
Yeah, that was Panic. Was Carlton.
He looked like a completely different adult.
It was the glasses and the blazer I think he had on.
I was like, this character obviously fell out of the Matrix.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I didn't know that was Carlton because I even texted y'all and I was like, why is he talking to this strange man?
I was like, it's the 90s, Mikey. It doesn't make sense.
But yeah, it's like we're having to meet up under this crackhead bridge. Yeah. That's where we're going to meet all of these, I guess, at-risk youths. And I'm just like, why don't you go take him to like some sort of public area? And then, of course, his dad, clearly his dad's shitty because he left in the woods for 2 days.
Oh, yeah, that too. He's having those war flashbacks of being in the woods clinging to a tree for dear life.
And I'm also like, how did CPS, not take him from his dad at that point?
The 90s, man. It was a completely different time. Goodness.
Flawless in the 90s.
it was pretty brutal. So yeah, that opening scene was just so chaotic because then they all come up in the van and then you meet Charles, Melissa, Holly, and they're taking Tyler on a trip. Apparently Panic is coming as well because he knows Holly. And then another fucking group shows up and it's Dee Dee and Rome who are also coming on the trip. And you're like, okay, we just met seven new people in the first 5 minutes of this movie. It's very odd, and I love the entire time they keep cutting back to Jarvis's character. Also, so they're growing weed, right? That's what Jarvis is doing in this barn that's hamster-powered? What was with that? Little hamster running around the little wheel powering everything? Was that what was
that
going
was
on?
I wrote down my favorite, my favorite line in this movie, which you asked, was when he looked at the hamster after he'd been eaten by the tick, and he goes, dude, you're all messed up.
Oh, that's what he said. Yeah, the tick completely fucked his life up. But yeah, Clint Howard, so he's a weed grower, and I guess the stuff that he's using is like an herbal enhancement to like speed up the process of growing weed, and it drips out of a vat, and it lands on, like, a lot of this movie's not explained, you kind of have to put it together, because it lands on what I assumed is just a larvae, and it was, because it hatches, and it's this giant tick, and I love that you get, like, the tick POV of him on, like, the tick on the floor, and it's scurrying around, and it goes and eats the hamster, and then I think doesn't it jump at his face, too? Jarvis's face, and that's when I think he first gets infected. Now, when they all arrive at camp, and there's just ticks already in the building, how the fuck did they work that fast?
Yeah.
I was like, we have one tick that's just went around and laid hundreds of fucking larvae in the matter of 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and I didn't even know that those things were eggs when it first started. I was like, what the fuck is this? What are we watching?
Yeah,
ticks.
You have to assume, and it's just like, I guess these are egg sacs filled with ticks that are all.
I didn't even assume that. I just literally until one of them burst out, I was like, oh, they were eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is this wood shit going on over here?
I know. It's like, ew, mold. How horrifying.
It's goopy mold. Yeah, because Tyler notices a goopy larvae egg sac and cuts it open with a hanger and a bunch of gunk falls out. One larvae survives. They squish the other one, but then it cuts to the crawl space and there's just like dozens of these egg sacs everywhere. And I'm like, this tick must have been so busy in the last 5 or 10 minutes. So I didn't understand how that was possible. There's also several more outside because when they go outside, there's just attached to all these fucking logs outside. So yeah. Again,
Melissa and Seth Green did the worst job explaining about to her dad about what just happened when the pod came. I was like, there's something scary. It tried to bite me. He's like, ticks don't do that. Bugs don't. And he was like, no, but it was a giant thing and it tried to eat me. Okay.
He's like, we're in the woods. Bugs are going to do that.
Yeah.
To me, like, this is very much like a combination between Goosebumps of Outer Limits, where you're just like, okay, let's just keep going. Story's not, you get the idea. We're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
You're watching a movie called Ticks. You're going to deal with it.
You know what it's about.
So we get locals too that stop by at this point. They warn the campers about the illicit activity that the locals are getting into since the logging mill shut down. So they've just resorted to growing pot. You could also just move out of the town. That's also an option. But no, they just decide to start making pot, which is fine, I guess. And then this is, you know, Panic's dog. What was the dog's name? I don't even remember. I didn't write that down. The dog had a name, but I'm calling Rufus. Okay.
Rufus.
Yeah. Whoever made this movie obviously is not a fan of dogs, and I'm never a fan of dog deaths, but it gets attacked by a tick, starts convulsing, Panic picks him up, and gives the worst monologue I think I've ever seen, where he starts crying, and he's like, he didn't recognize me. He didn't respond to me. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, didn't the vet say he was like tripping on LSD?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the ticks, when they bite you, they numb the skin when they bite, and then they can also produce hallucinations, which we
it
get
was
some.
All just a drug.
It was all,
drug,
yeah. Everyone was
weed,
just tripping.
LSD, steroids.
Steroids.
This is just a movie funded by the DARE program.
Yeah. Absolutely. But well, I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. Too, yeah.
I don't do drugs, so I don't. I do a little steroids from time to time if you see my body. But
if you've seen us underdeveloped, never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good.
We'll keep going.
That's what my HGH is for, but I can't choose what I want to grow. So,
Oh, goodness. Well,
yeah, like, no, this is, I mean, it's very an anti-drug movie.
No.
But it's in a, but it's wrapped around a when nature attacks kind of movie, which is kind of, it's just, I really like this movie. It's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah. I don't know if, is that true, or did they just make that up for the movie, the whole, because I guess they had the herbal growth stuff in them, that's why they're creating the hallucinations?
Where I'm from, people do a lot of farming, but they don't grow like herbal steroids that I'm aware of. Like, they put fertilizer and chicken shit out there for everything. But as far as like I don't think Clint Howard's character was smart enough to come up with some sort of like steroid to make his weed grow faster.
I don't think so either. But he had a serious fucking setup in that barn. Good God, there's wires everywhere and pot leaves and plants everywhere and hamsters and wheels.
But he doesn't have health insurance, according to him, though. So there's that to worry about. So that's why he doesn't do anything, because he's got the ticks. He's like, well, I guess I'm infested. I'm fucked. I can't go to the doctor now.
I can't do that, no.
Yeah. I'm surprised they never mentioned anything about Lyme disease in this movie.
Or the Lone Star disease. That shit's terrifying.
Long Star disease?
Lone Star tits can give you something that can make you allergic to red meat. That is
my
a real
God.
Thing. Yeah.
No, thank you.
I have heard that.
I'd rather just trip balls, you know?
Exactly. I'd rather deal with Lyme.
Give me the LSD one.
Yeah, give me the LSD. Tripping shit. Panic, this is one of my favorite lines. Panic decides to leave because he's tired of this bonanza bullshit. Love that line.
You're not even in the West. You're in the mountains. Like, if you were, like, in the desert or something, that line would have made sense.
Yeah.
But you're in the mountains.
You're in the mountains. Doesn't make sense, guy. So they call the sheriff in. Sheriff comes down. He's like, you should take this dog to the vet. Have her check it out. So they do that exact thing, and the vet is like, what the fuck is going on here? Something sucked all of the blood out of it. And then this is when the whole herbal steroid thing comes in. And it's a really cool, that whole scene at the vet is actually a really fun scene, because the tick eventually pops out of the dog with the syringe still in it and starts scurrying around. And it takes them way too fucking long to find it. Way too long.
You get a little claymation, though. You get a little claymation scene with that. When the tick jumps.
When the tick
the
jumps,
vent, you
yeah.
get a little claymation. I was like, yeah, look at that.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Stop motion animation, I mean, I guess that would really be.
Yes. Well, yes. Stop motion claymation. It jumps at Tyler, who gets stuck to his face, and then they rip it off, and the vet squishes it, and she was like, when in doubt, squish. I was like, all right.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing about this movie that always kind of drives me crazy. At the beginning of the movie, when they first pull off a little tick, Tyler's giving this whole diatribe about how, you know, you got to burn them, but you can't squish them because they're too small, they're too sturdy for it. And then 5 minutes later, when it's out, squish. I'm like, why would you even add that? You could just say, like, you burn them, that's the best way to get them off. Why would you even add the don't squish them and then 5 minutes later make Tyler look like an idiot.
Yeah.
I didn't take it as a like a comment about the ticks. I thought it was just bugs in general.
Yeah.
Because you're not supposed to squish them, because if you leave the head in, you can get infected. Oh. I know unnecessarily amount of about ticks, because one of the things that bugged me, I was like, they don't move that fast. They're actually very slow.
Yeah, these things haul ass in this movie. They are on a mission. So that sheriff that came around earlier, they find him when Melissa and Kelly, I think her name is, the one that didn't talk. I think her name was Kelly. They go fishing and they can't pull the line back. So Melissa goes out there, tries to get it unstuck. It turns out it was the sheriff from earlier. And again, they
gave Melissa a kind of an unnecessarily dark backstory.
Yeah, they really did.
Yeah, I'm just like, that just, for a movie that's, it's not like a comedy, it's not funny, but it's still sort of like, you know, it's a movie about killer ticks. You can't really take it too seriously. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, this happened. I was like, you could have done a lot of other things to make it like, why?
Remember when I told you to add some character development? That's not what I meant.
Yeah, exactly. The writer was like, you know what? Fuck your character development.
That's not what I needed.
Damn day real quick.
So at this point, you've got Tyler and Charles together. Panic is by himself, tripping balls in the woods, because he got, you mentioned earlier, that was a really good scene where he pulls the tick out of his leg, and he's tripping balls, and then those locals come back, they beat him up, and they're like, you're after our weed, and they threaten to kill him. And then this is when, what the fuck did that guy shoot at to cause the fire? What, it was like a propane tank or something?
Yeah, it was a propane tank. I don't know, and obviously if that propane tank explodes, as close as they were to it, that they probably all would have died.
Oh, with the shrapnel. Yeah, are you kidding me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, those things are pretty pressurized.
Let's see here. So they all link back up. Charlie and Tyler come back with the van, and they come across Dee and Rome, who are out in the fucking... I think Dee is tripping because she came into contact with the tick, and she also came in contact with Jarvis, and the tick, like, splattered onto her face. So they all go back to the cabin. They're like, all right, we got to fucking pack up our shit and go. And then, of course, the fucking two locals come back, and they're just such pieces of shit. They're threatening people. They're like, we want the van. We got to get the van. And then they send out, I think his name was Sir or Jerry. No, Jerry.
Sir was the guy in charge.
Sir was the fucking dickhead in charge with the gun. So they send out Jerry to the van, and he doesn't make it because the tick. And this is actually a really good horror moment as well, because a tick gets him in the neck, and then he starts hallucinating that the dead sheriff is on the porch with the gun, and he's calling him a killer. So at that point, you know, okay, they killed the sheriff because I guess they didn't want him getting wise to their pot growing operation. And then I love this scene because Jerry just floors it towards the sheriff, but it's really, you know, Sir. And then he just plows through Sir in the front of the cabin and somehow does not kill Sir. He's still alive, which I was very...
Right, and he flies across that.
He fucking flies across the cabin.
Like, he's just like shooting across the room.
It was great, but no, he's alive. And now the ticks are all coming towards the house because the fucking forest is on fire from the explosion earlier. They're crawling across the roof, and now they're coming inside. And I love the scene when it's like shooting up at the ceiling, and ticks are just being like thrown by crew members or something because they're just flying through the air. And I'm like, yeah, ticks are just raining from the ceiling. And then panic comes back. They let him in, but he dies shortly after that. But then, weirdly enough, comes back to life because he starts convulsing and like getting thrown around the room. And I was like, first time I saw this, I was like, what the fuck is going on? It turns out that there's this huge fucking tick inside of him that bursts out. Probably what a majority of that budget went to, because that shit looked fucking great. And that still holds up 30 years later.
Yeah, so like now, when the legs are coming out of his legs. And I was like,
and then his face splits really open. Cool. Yeah.
This is the best part of the movie.
It's really good. And now there's a giant tick. Goes after Sir. And I really wish you got to see more of his death. I wish they made it a little bit more meaningful. But the tick kind of just grabs his face and then that's it.
Yeah.
And now here's a whole continuity error that I was watching. I was like, okay, this doesn't even fucking make sense. So when they go to make a run for the van, they're on the second floor. Tyler takes a tire swing. I don't even know where they got the tire swing from. He swings out to go towards the van, but the van is in the fucking cabin downstairs. So the van mysteriously moved away from the cabin, which doesn't make any sense because it was inside the cabin. So he gets to the van, gets everybody inside except for Rome. You think Rome is going to eat shit, but Tyler somehow climbs back up the little rope that they had and fights him off with a fucking fire broom, to which he then eventually just fucking explodes, which was really cool. Really good sequence there. And then the fire reaches a propane tank, which there's nothing like a horror movie that ends with a huge explosion. I love it. So the whole entire cabin just bursts into flames.
Hank Hill's worst nightmare.
Just hear him in the background swearing and cursing.
Tell you what.
I'll tell you what. Damn it, Bobby. So back in the city, we see the van in a junkyard, I guess, or some impound lot. And a larvae sack, which just conveniently drops out at that moment in time, not on the entire drive home, and ticks hatch, and you know, it's kind of like a bleak ending. You're like, oh shit, like this would have been a great movie to get a sequel to, having ticks like in the city. I mean, it's not necessary, but I think it could have been fun if they did it right. But
I'll call up Seth Green now. I'll be like, hey, Seth, you want to do ticks too?
Yeah, let's have him fund it, and then he can be a star in it 30 years later. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll get Sarah Michelle Gellar to make a cameo.
oh, my goodness.
Freddie Prinze Jr. out this mug.
Oh, yeah. So that is Ticks from 1993. Mikey, what did you think about it? Because I know I feel like you didn't have fun with it, and you hated me for making you watch this.
Oh, no, it's not the movie's fault, and it's not your fault. It's not even Jason's fault.
Oh.
We won't get into it, though, because I don't blame the listeners. But the way that I would have ended the movie is out comes Jennifer Love Hewitt in her towel. The shower at the gym is very steamy.
Ooh.
And the mirror is foggy. And as the steam clears, written by someone's fingertip in the window, it says, "You gone tick me off." And then we have Ticks 2.
That's pretty great. Ticks 2. That is the best ending you could possibly have for this movie, yes.
Ticks 2, ticked off.
I was only, 6 years old, but they could have called me.
The idea has always been there.
That six-year-old Mikey had some ideas. Mm-hmm. He was like, I need, can you get that girl from Ants in this movie too?
I don't know what her face looks like, but if she covers her breasts, I can tell you. If
it's I'll be able tick, to, maybe this time it will be even cooler.
Ticks. Oh my God. Just every bug movie have the same cover, but it just changes the bug type. But no, I actually thought it was really gross, but not like in a extreme way. It was a very fun 90s creature feature, mm-hmm. like very comparable to all the other bug movies that were out at that time. Maybe a little bit grosser, maybe because we think ticks are grosser in general, whereas like spiders are kind of just scary, so we don't really think they're gross, we just think they're scary. I wish they would have played more with like how ticks plump up when they drink blood, because I think that would be even grosser.
That would have been cool. Yeah, they do that in Mosquito, but they didn't do that in the
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, because when they plump up and their little short legs can't move, it's so gross.
Little deer ticks plumping up. Yeah, they're so disgusting.
And so, like, when it was hanging off of Clint Howard's face, I was like, I'm glad they didn't do it, because it would be a little bit too much. But if that thing was plumped up with blood, I'd be freaking out right now. But no, I would say it's a solid 3 out of 5. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. It was fun. The fire effects at the end were a little cheesy, but it's the 90s. I'll forgive it.
Sure.
Yeah, there was a couple.
Yeah, like when the fire was in the background, I was like, okay, we're getting into Jeepers Creepers 4 territory here. But my favorite line of the movie, since you asked, was when
I totally forgot about that.
Comes in to the cabin or whatever they lived in, and he was like, "You just saved our lives. For that, we are eternally grateful. But there's a lot of bugs everywhere."
Yeah.
It was just a delivery I thought was funny.
And then proceeds to be a giant fucking dick to everyone.
Yeah.
All right, let's see here. Jason, overall thoughts?
I really, really like this movie. I remember seeing this movie at the video store when I was a kid. I remember watching it when I was younger. I mean, it used to be on USA and like all night kind of things. Yeah, I remember it being on those kind of things a lot. I got a lot of nostalgia for this movie. I've been looking for a VHS tape of it on eBay that I do not want to spend $30 for it.
That's fair.
Yeah.
You can get the 4K Vinegar Syndrome for about $30. So
exactly. And that makes sense. A VHS tape for $30 for ticks is a bit extreme.
Yeah.
But I look every once in a while, like, can I find one today? It was like $20. Nah, I still don't want to pay $20 for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, what would you rate it? We've got a 3.
I give it 3.5. Like I said, it's, you know, I can't really give it a 4. I can't justify giving it a 4 even though I want to, because it's not a fantastic movie. It's kind of like, it kind of just kind of hums along.
Yep.
But I really got a lot of nostalgia for it, and it's funny. It's I just really enjoy it. And I like creature features too. We don't really get a lot of them that are any watchable. I mean, Dead Ant is not really a good movie.
Yeah.
but that's the closest time we get to it recently.
All right. Well, I'm right with you on the 3.5. That's what I gave it. It's like, it's a movie I want to give a 4, but I'm like, you're right. It's not fantastic. So it's at a 3.5 for me. I've got some taglines here that I thought were pretty fun. It's not nice to mess with Mother Nature. Something hungry is about to hatch. They'll make your skin crawl, and they breed, they hatch, they kill. Trivia, despite the movie's subtitle, ticks are not insects, they're arachnids. More closely related to spiders and scorpions, this movie was shot in 5 weeks. The film was made and released internationally under the title Ticks, and the film was briefly test marketed to U.S. theaters in 1993 under the title Infested. It was changed back to Ticks for video and TV and became a minor cult classic under that name. Midway through filming, an earthquake in the San Bernardino Mountains destroyed the mountain location and the hotel the cast and crew stayed at. The cabin had to be recreated in a wooded area in the Griffith Park Golf Course and could only be used in the evenings so as to not obstruct golfers during the day. Fun time. No goofs that I found worthwhile. Rated 5.5 out of 10 on IMDb, 3.0 out of 5 on Letterboxd, 71% on the tomato meter, and a 30% audience score. Mikey gave it a 3. Me and Jason gave it a 3.5. Similar movies according to Letterboxd, we've got The Blob, Cabin Fever, which is the second time that's been mentioned since we've done that movie. Wrong Turn, Feast, and Slither. Similar movies according to IMDb, we've got Slugs, Mosquito, The Nest, Ebola Syndrome, and The Lamp.
What?
Yeah. And The Lamp, a.k.a. The Outing. Let's finish it up here with some funny reviews. Did any of you get some funny reviews or bad reviews?
I've got some funny reviews here. So this one I got from IMDb.
All right.
From the person Captain Ron -2.
Okay.
This is from April 11th, 1999.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah, it says, poor Seth Green. If it wasn't for Seth Green, this movie wouldn't have been worth the space it took to advertise it in the paper.
to be fair, he wasn't that big back then.
Exactly. It was one of those USA Network bad days at the movies, and I can see why. Only Critters was worse than this movie.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
I will be willing to bet that Seth will not list this film on his resume.
Nope, it's his top build. Fuck you.
1 star out of 10.
Oh, wow.
This person, 2 stars out of 10 from Bay John, February 11th, 1999.
Oh, my.
Another passable horror film. One thing is for sure, Ron Howard must be ashamed of his brother after watching this film. Clint has a memorable role as a forest bum that meets his demise from the ticks.
Oh my god, that is fucking great.
Yeah.
Okay, Mikey, did you have any?
I do have some funny little, just like the titles of the reviews I didn't go on. I forgot to get their names. Sorry.
Yeah, it's
hang
okay.
On. The top reviews I thought were funny were Bloodthirsty Ticks Get the Munchies Real Bad.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one, yeah.
TNA, Good Ticks and Great Actors. I know the last one's kind of stupid, but it's Ticks the Boxes.
Ticks the Boxes?
Okay, that's pretty funny.
All right, I've got 3 here from Letterboxd. Jay Hayda, half star, okay, ... That was pretty ass, just like this fucking review. 1 star from Stephen Hansen. Clint Howard does his best, and the star is for him. A decent quote, I'm cleaning the apartment, but want to listen/watch a movie that doesn't demand much of me movie. And last but not least, 1 star from Abe something. Want to see Alfonso Ribeiro push past the point where he can comfortably act and fall flat? It's in here. I agree with you, my friend. So Mikey or Jason, where can they listen to the sultry sound of your voice on Slashers?
You can hear our sultry voices, as you were gonna say, at Slashers Podcast, wherever fine podcasts are available, probably the one you're listening to this one on.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast. Email us stayspookyatoutlook.com. You can also follow me personally on Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. Mikey is Mikey and the T-Rex. Jason is Meow. What was it?
Meow _ Pacino.
That never gets old. I love it. So this is the last Savage Summer episode. Next month is Arrow Video August, where we will be reviewing movies that have been released by Arrow Video. And me and Corey, as long as he can make it, I know he's got a crazy work schedule now, we will be doing a J-horror movie from 2001. Until next week, guys, stay tuned and stay spooky.